Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition, Orlando Lions Den. We got the podcast episode this week, Tuesday, or right? It's Wednesday night now? Thursday night? I don't even know.
Thursday.
Goodness gracious. We're late this week, but we got a big matchup in between two big matchups. We just beat the living heck out of Miami. That was nice to get off the snide, and coming up on Atlanta on Saturday evening at home. So it's going to be a fun one. I'm here with my boys. Missing JJ and Eddie tonight, but we got Cleon, Mike, and Ryder. Cleon, what's up, my man?
Hey, man, I'm all good, all good. Always better coming off a win, especially after that trash club they got down there down south. So, you know, into toxic Fort Lauderdale, you know. Always down to beat down those dudes. They feel out like cockroaches again. I see that, and it's always nice to see.
They truly feel like the little brother, and that's always nice because we never really had that feeling. So, Ryder, my man, what's going on, brother?
It's a win. Florida is purple once again. Going to keep it that way going in this season. It felt like we were on a whole different level compared to inner Broward County, and not only did their players show it against our players, but we had more than 400 people show up. JJ included. We saw a lot of pictures of him throughout the weekend, and it's just nice to see 400 people, and there were probably more Orlando City fans in the stadium by the final whistle than inner Miami fans. So let's keep it up.
Yeah, for sure. And if I read correctly, and if this would be in cohesion with the time that we went, Cleon and Eddie and I, and the 400 people is just in the supporter section. So, I mean, scattered throughout the way end, you know, but scattered throughout the stadium is still, you know, dozens of more Orlando City fans. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we had, you know, 600, 700, 800 people there, maybe up to 1,000. You could hear when we scored the second and third goal, the eruption of the stadium. And you're like, wait, what? That they're on the road. And that was us. That was our fans. So, that's awesome to hear. When you're watching a road match, it feels like, you know, it feels really authentic because that's what you're used to seeing, especially in the Premier League, you know, those away stands filled. And I love to see it. I wish MLS would do more to pack away stands. And I feel like if they did more, there would probably be a lot more popularity within the league. But that's a conversation for a different day. Mike, my man, long time. How was last time? You were here on Spaces. Were you here last week?
Yeah, I was here on Spaces. I think I was on last week. Maybe I wasn't. I don't know. I just got back from vacation.
You were on.
Got a brain.
You so. Can't remember with your Colorado vacation, huh?
I mean, dude, stop. No, but for real, I'm responsible. Great win. Feeling good about it, man. Always good to beat Inter Pompano Beach. We got to make sure we hit all the nicknames. So
Pompano Beach is my favorite, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel good about it, man. I was also almost dead on my predictions last week because I said, yeah, I was on last week. I said NYCFC is going to be a draw 1-1. We're going to hate it and we're going to beat the brakes off of Miami. I said 3-0. It was 3-1. But you were absolutely spot on, dude. The noise when Ojeda's goal went in, that explosion of just sound that they didn't want us to hear, but based on what they were doing in the stadium. Man, beautiful thing.
So. I agree. The 3-0 was probably dead on, aside from Campana just having the crack of the season for Inter Miami. So
give him credit, man. That was a hell of a blast. There's a reason Pedro didn't stop it.
You know, I know this is a sentiment with a lot of the followers of Orlando City. I don't mind giving up goals like that. It's no. The ones where the defenders get beat and it's a, you know, 0.99 expected goal because, you know, anybody could have made it, but goal like that, you ain't going to stop that. Could some of the players have done better? Sure. Wilder probably could have done a lot better on that goal. I mean, that goal was definitely preventable, but if the guy's going to make it from there, you know, if that's what beat you, that's what beat you. So, let's get into the sponsors. we'll go I know we have Accurate Mortgage Group with Leo. He's still working. The Gonzalez sisters, I believe, are still working with him too. At least Maria is. And if you ever need help, I've seen people still closing on homes. I know refinancing isn't much of a thing with the rates going up, but talk to somebody that can give you free advice. And even if you don't go with them, they'll still point you in the right direction. If you're not doing that, I promise you, you're doing a disservice to yourself. So talking to somebody that you can trust, and I promise you could trust them. And don't forget about Eddie, same thing with the insurance world. If you need health or life insurance, personal P&L insurance, property and casualty, if you need a house, home insurance, I know the rates are going up crazy. So I know down here we've seen $6,000 to $8,000 a year increases in Key West for house insurance for a lot of the people. So if you're needing to shop that, call Eddie and I promise he'll shop it for you. And if he can't get you a better price, he'll tell you at least stay with where you're at. So go make sure you go with them. And then of course, Field Turf USA, always been by our side from the beginning, and we appreciate them. Obviously they do all those side of the pitches. They do a lot of nice things, especially in even with Orlando City, but always great to have them on our side. And hopefully we'll be able to get up there to a game with them again soon in Atlanta, even though I know this one's going to be at home. So we'll move into our recap. Miami 3-1 game, right? We start off hot. Carter could have had probably a hat trick in the first, 25 minutes. I mean, the guy was he was looking really, really, he was in the right positions in all the right places. We get a long throw, finally works, and Carl puts it in the back of the net. He's like Eddie said, he pointed out, I'll shout out Eddie, but he's starting to use that peach of his on his rear end, and he's starting to learn how to box out and get some space. And I think even more so, he's starting to learn that he only needs a couple inches of space to be the player that he can be. So it's starting to click for him, and it's fun to be able to see that live, I think, at least. And then Campana gets that equalizer. We go into half 1-1, and we come out with an idea, right? We come out, we went into half 1-0, right?
Yeah,
1-0, Campana, and then they come out
57th minute,
and we came out kind of looking like Poppy Ball for that first 10 minutes of the second half, kind of looking like we were playing not to lose, kind of looking like we were going to hold it in. And then we woke up because they woke up, and it was good to see a response. Another long throw. I think that was off of a throw in to Schlegel to Cara. Cara dumps it over. Ojeda free in on goal. I mean, that he's been, you know, waiting for that chance for a while. Dumps it in, leaves no mistake. That's one thing I got to love about Ojeda, because we've seen a few of those times where we have people that we go get, expensive or not expensive, and they're wide in on goal like that, and they dump it to the left or to the right, or they hit it over the goal. He's had a couple of those now, and he puts that thing in the back of the net. So got to love that. Puts us up 2-1, and then Miami starts to push. You could really tell that they're putting the pressure on their coach as well, they start to push, and we capitalize. We crushed them. And Duncan McGuire on that last goal, man, I tell you what he did on that last goal. Some guys will play it. Some strikers will play an entire career and not be able to have the comprehension to do what he did, you know? And so I was super impressed by that dump off to Rafael Santos. Santos had just had a shot like that couple minutes before from basically the same spot, and he missed it just wide, and Duncan gave him another chance, and that was awesome to see. And he buried it, and it was 3-1, and it was over from there. So at that point, the mass exodus occurred from the Miami Stadium, it was us left. So great to see. Tell me what you guys' thoughts were. I was happy. Obviously you're happy, but you know, overall, what are you guys thinking? Who was your, you know, what stood out to you in the match? Was it the, you know, maybe a player, or was it really, do you think there was tactics change, or was it just us being better than Miami? We'll start with Cleon.
Yeah, I want to say, first I want to say, yeah, we are better than Miami. That's just out the gate. Yeah, this team is a better team than Miami on paper, and both had been struggling anyway, so it was, you know, it wasn't like you know, the us playing, not playing up to our level wasn't as much a factor because, you know, Miami's been trash. So yeah, that was pretty good. But I think the teams kind of look different to me just ever since we've been on like the double pivot, you know what I mean, with the Cesar and Wilder back there. Yeah, he sat Ojeda, and I don't know how much that's been playing into it. Honestly, I'm not sure how much of a factor that's been in the way we're looking. But the guys, I mean, we play solid, man, and it's been spoken on a bunch of times. You know, Johnson and Antonio Carlos, they, you know, it's like they say, they're an incredible Hulk in that, you know, when it's only them back there, then we start making them do all that extra and stuff like that. He put three back there, and then they seem like they're all out of sorts and don't know where to be. But overall, I mean, it was a really solid game. Like, we just looked good from the beginning. We looked in control. You know what I mean? We looked like we knew what we were doing all game long for the most part. And like you said, Carr, he had a couple, like, off the post, like, right out the gate, right? So, I mean, he, like you said, he very well probably should have ended up with at least a brace,
yep,
at minimum. But, I mean, he played well. He's been playing well. He's been doing the stuff, you know, the stuff that he was not doing before. And he's been doing it up to this point. And you got to just keep it rolling until, you know, until he plays himself out of it, if he was to do that. But overall, I'm really happy. I wish we could have Ojeda got a nice little late goal off of a freaking beautiful pass from Carr. That was awesome. That's what you're supposed to do. That was like textbook, bro. You know, great hold up in the middle, looking straight out, just right over that shoulder, know where somebody's supposed to be there, and you know, that was perfect, man. I would have loved to see Faku get one, but it's been a struggle, man. I guess it's a little everything, man. It's been good, man. It's been good. That was a really good game. I really hope they can carry that on into this week.
Yeah, Faku, man, it feels like he makes such a difference in the game still, you know, just because he attracts so much attention because of last year and because of his promise and I don't know who he is. But you know, it feels like that's the last piece that if we can nail him in, you know, we could really be dangerous. So Mike, tell me your thoughts on the match. And obviously we're all happy, but is there anything that left you wanting more or maybe hesitant for the result per se?
So first, obviously happy that Florida's purple. Want to say, as we're recording this right now, Florida is double purple because OCB just beat Inter Fort Lauderdale 2-1, also down in Fort Lauderdale. So two away dubs in the week against Fort Lauderdale. Feels damn good. But listening to Extra Time this past week, one of the things that they mentioned is, you know, does this feel like a turning point for Orlando, or is this more of an indication of where Miami's at? Got to remember, Miami is missing two of their most influential players in the midfield in Jean Mota and Gregory. So both of them being out definitely stinks. And if you look at the substitutions that are being made, they're bringing in Harvey Neville. They're bringing in, I think, McVay or Ryan Saylor. Like, they only have defenders that they're subbing on, and we're subbing on Mauricio Pereira. We're subbing on Martin Ojeda, Duncan Maguire, who's scoring goals. So there's definite levels to where our roster's at, where their roster's at, what we're capable of, what they're capable of. So obviously super happy. That feels like probably one of the most probably the most complete performance I think we've put in, because I'm taking that against the LA Galaxy game, which also was a very complete performance. And I think that we saw a little bit more out of the boys in terms of chance creation and quality, you know, quality of ball movement and stuff like that. So I'm very happy with the performance, but again, it brings to what I've been saying week in and week out is there needs to be consistency. Build off this. Have a good game next week against Atlanta. Build on that. Get two wins in a row. Get results. Keep pushing and getting better, because you know what? Atlanta, we're going to talk about them in a little bit. They got some key pieces that are going to be out, and we need to capitalize on that. So I feel really good about this. Obviously, a derby win is always going to be a damn good thing. But I need more. And I don't think that I'm, you know, overreaching too much in that. I don't think I'm being greedy. I'm just being, you know, the fan that wants the best out of his club. So it's a step in the right direction. Take two steps forward and not one step back this week.
Yeah, that's 100. I mean, I feel a lot of the same way, because Miami does suck, and they have clear, extreme roster sanctions that, you know, their hands are tied behind their back to begin with. You know, the fact that they won a couple games at the beginning of the season, everybody was shocked. They were well overperforming, and then they've hit this huge snide, and this is just where they're supposed to be. I mean, the sanctions they handed down were unprecedented for Inter Miami, you know. So I am kind of taking it with a grain of salt. Like you said, we created more chances, but I think we've just scored more goals. It's not like we had 3 goals on 7 shots on target. We still had 4 shots on target and scored 3 goals. So it's still a linear theme of not creating a lot of, you know, solid shots on goal attempts, and but also a linear theme that when we do, we convert them. We are creating very solid shot, you know, attempts and expected goals when we have that chance. Now, I think our expected goals this week was under 1.5. I think I saw it. It was, you know, I think like 1.4 or 1.43 or something like that. I know Miami had literally 0. I think they had like 0.27. Oh, yeah. It was the lowest expected goals that I think we've ever allowed, or second lowest expected goals that we've ever allowed. So it was a great defensive match. That is a testament to how we controlled the match, I think, like you mentioned, Mike. But also, we also very well overperformed on offense, and when we had our chances, we put them away. So Ryder, tell me your thoughts and what you're thinking about, not only, you know, this match, but overall. Does this change, you know, anybody's or your full opinion on whether you're poppy in or poppy out, or how are you feeling about that?
Well, my thoughts on the match are, it's nice to score 3 goals, because guess what? We haven't done that since September of last year. 4 goals against Toronto at home right after the Open Cup was the last time we scored more than 2 goals in any competition. And that's a good feeling, even if it comes against a team that honestly is missing a couple of key players and is playing with one arm tied behind their back to begin with. So it's good. It's awesome to have a derby win, especially coming off of that heartbreaking 4-1 loss in the same stadium a couple weeks before the end of the season. And yeah, I think the guys are starting to click a lot more. Ojeda coming off the bench and scoring 4 minutes later is a big deal. He came in with fresh legs against what was honestly a tired team that, and they took advantage of that. I wouldn't say it has me completely out of the woods yet, as far as do we need to make changes, but I think that the seat has cooled substantially. I think I said something about this a couple of weeks ago, where we had a window where we needed to make a change. And considering we've gotten 5 points out of our last 3 matches, it's not great, but it's better than nothing. It's an upward trajectory. And like Mike was saying, and I said something, I'm trying to remember exactly what I said on Spaces, which unfortunately went into the great unknown because someone, myself, doesn't know how to hit record. So we have to capitalize on that. I was talking about, we haven't had more than 3 goals in a game since late last season. We also haven't had a winning streak. I've said this a couple times. We need a winning streak. We need to build on top of this. The only thing separating us between us and Miami is the fact that They have zero draws and we have four. And a couple of those we should have probably won. We have to take advantage of some of these opportunities and we need to build on it. Get a winning streak. Let's go out there and do it again. And let's do it against Atlanta at home, because if you want to, sell tickets, you want to sell tickets to some of these matches that are coming up. I mean, Miami at home will be a big one, but later in the year, but Orlando against Atlanta, you got Colorado's not going to sell tickets. Well, Philadelphia might do okay. Chicago, Toronto, those are all matches that you have to get people interested going into the heat of the summer to come out and buy tickets, and beating the piss out of Atlanta is going to do just that. So let's get another win. Let's get those points. Let's get comfortable back above the line, because spending 1 week down below the cutoff line was not fun.
Yeah. And especially with this roster that we have, you know, I think that's a good transition, because if you've listened to the Den after dark, which maybe it's a fun thing that I'm the guy usually doing them, but it hasn't been too fun. And you've heard my opinion on the whole Poppy out thing. And obviously I've been probably the most vocal out of the six. I mean, maybe not JJ, I guess if we exclude JJ, but I guess I've been the second most vocal, as far as the Poppy out thing. And, but also in my sentiment, if you listen to the whole thing and everything that I say, you know, you also hear me say, I have major respect for Oscar Pereja. There's been, for the majority of his tenureship at Orlando City, I have been the biggest fan of Oscar Pereja out of maybe anybody, you know, and I have receipts for that. I love Oscar Pereja, and I want, we, like everybody said, we want nobody else to take us there, but we need to get there. And that's the main thing. So, I agree with you, Ryder. The seat is extremely less hot than it was the last time that we did a podcast. And it's a result driven league. That's what sports are. It's about results. You know, I said, if we got 1 point out of New York, Miami, and Atlanta, he'd be fired. We're at four already. So I don't think he's going to be fired. And I think he deserves it after you beat them. Now, if we go out and it looks like it was a fluke and we get slopped at home to Atlanta United, then, you know, maybe we're going to start having this conversation again, because at the end of the day, Miami is a drastically, on paper, inferior team to us. You know, they're not supposed to be as good as us, and we are supposed to go down there and beat the ever living crap out of them. So we did what we were supposed to do, but we need to see the consistency. You know, as far as, you know, Poppy came out and he said, and they gave him coach of the week and manager of the week, and he was the man on the MLS, you know, best 11 of the team of the match day, I guess, team of the match day is what they call it now, since Apple TV likes to cram all 16 matches into 1 2.5 hour period. So the team of the match day, Poppy led it, and it was like, I put it on Twitter, it's like Poppy saying, you know, hold this, you know what I mean? What are you thinking now, punk? Were you talking crap about me? Because he came out and he did what he had to do, and I loved it, you know. But I'm not gonna say, like Ryder said, I'm not gonna say, you know, my mind is completely changed until I see, like Mike says, consistency and these results. Because for all I know, we're just, you know, this is the most consistency we've had, and that's not going win loss. It's going draw win. This is like the best little streak of consistency that we've had. So if we go out and we beat Atlanta, I think that gives Poppy undoubtedly, unquestionably, the entire rest of the season. I don't think we ever will talk about Poppy
Leagues Cup at the minimum.
I think you beat Miami, you beat Atlanta in two back-to-back games, 6 points gets you probably into third, maybe fourth place on the table. I don't even think we have the conversation anymore, because we'll always look back and say, well, he won those two matches, and that's what we asked of him when the seat was hot, and he earned it for at least till this contract gets out. Now, can he earn another contract here? You never know. We could have cups in the future if maybe these guys turn it, you know, they figure it all out and we start to see the consistency. But I want to hear about your guys' opinion. Let's start with Mike. I know you've been on the fence. You've been Switzerland in this entire fiasco with, you know, Poppy in, Poppy out. But tell me how you're feeling about you know, that the hot topic, because I know all of our listeners want to know, you know, if we're going to eat our, if we're going to eat our chow, eat our words, because we've been, you know, like so hot about it.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been Al Davis the entire time. My quote is just win, baby. I don't care how you do it. I don't care who's doing it. I just want to win games. And I think that's, you know, what most of us want, is we just want to win games. That's all we want to see. I think that the likelihood is, you're right, you know, we string together a couple wins, Poppy's going to be staying, and I think it's going to be, you know, feeling good, but we might reevaluate that at the end of the year, because his contract is up. So I think that there is, you know, there's a little bit of reason for cautious optimism right now that things are going in the right direction, and I don't have any issues with that. I don't have any issues that are for people that are still clamoring for change. The important thing is that, you know, we have civilized conversations about it. Like, you know, that the hardest thing I feel like for some Orlando City fans is that we take things too personal. I've found that a lot in things that we've seen sometimes online, you know, in the past week, when there's pundits making predictions about the game, we're way too invested in what they have to say about us. Like, that's, they're paid to do that job. That's what they're supposed to do. So I don't know. I'm personally, like, as long as we're winning games, I'm happy. So I'm in a good space right now. But again, as long as we're having civil discourse, man, I'm cool.
Yeah. What was the one to Kaylin Kyle? Who's that blonde bead star, and then she retweeted. Love it. I mean, like Cleon said, we get so, but it's just that we care, man, and we get personal about it. We're so sensitive, but I don't
think caring is cool. Caring's important. I'm with you on caring, but some things, again, we just take to heart way too much.
Oh man, that's just passion, man. That's PASHUN, passion.
Passion.
That's all that is, man. I think that's plus it's, you know, it's I think it's fun, and it's fun to talk crap to people when they're wrong. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Especially the major pundits who always tend to hate us. And two major pundits who, by the way, have decently strong ties back to this club. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it either. But Cleon, Poppy in, Poppy out. Just win, baby, win. You've been kind of Switzerland too.
No. I was at the point where I said they need a new voice. That's probably still the case, but my other thing is I'm fine, if he can make it to the end of his contract, then I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Then that's fine. And then they can make that decision. I would love, like, if, you know, this was to change around and we become an attacking team and, you know, playing exciting and entertaining soccer that people want to pay money to go watch, then, you know, that's different. Like, everything isn't set in stone, you know what I mean? Things can change. I don't think Poppy can change his stripes, so to speak. You know, he's kind of pretty far in, and you know, he hasn't changed too much over the course of his career. So I would be surprised if, I hope he can, because I mean, you know, that's our guy, man. You know what I mean? That's our guy. So if, you know, if you were to ask me, you know, oh, we're gonna win the championship, you know what I mean? I promise we're gonna win a championship, and they say, okay, we're gonna win this championship, which coach do you want to be there raising the cup with you? I'm gonna say Poppy. You know what I mean? I'd rather it be him than someone else. But I'm also not going to be. So I'm not a player fan or a coach fan. You know what I mean? Like I'm for the club. These coaches and players, they go in and out. It's a constant thing. Like they're going to be, they're here, then they're not. Then, you know what I mean? I don't follow in any of my sports. I don't follow players around from team to team. It's I'm on one team and that's it. You know what I mean? Once they go, they're gone. For, you know, for Poppy's here and Poppy's been here. He's the guy that brought us out that dark. I would love for it to be him. And I hope he changes everything and makes this the type of team that people want to come out and play, pay money to see, and fill the stadium back up. But if he's not, then, you know, I just hope he's got enough to where we're able to compete and make it through at least to the end of his contract, because I believe he deserves that. He deserves that respect to let him be here to the end of his contract and then make that decision. I mean, Carr, he's turned around, you know, he's doing the things he wasn't doing before. I said before, that guy, you know, if you believe he got benched, if you believe he didn't, when he's gotten benched before, it wasn't for goal scoring. You know what I mean? It was never about how many goals he's scoring. It's about the other things he was not doing, which was holding the team up to the point to where he was almost unplayable at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I know he had some personal issues and things like that going on at the beginning of the season. But, you know, he's whether it's competition, whether it's competition from within, you know, forcing him to step up, or just him having to sit on the bench for that stretch, has woke him up to okay, I also need to do this, and this. And so far he's doing that, and he's done it every match since he's returned to the lineup. So, you know, as long as he's doing that, I'm fine. Let him go out there, let him play, let him start, let him score goals. And I have the same mindset with Poppy. It's, you know what I mean? As long as you're getting up there and you're getting results, real results, then, you know, stay right along. Nothing's set in stone. Like, a lot of people, I feel like they pick a stance and it comes to points where they just want to be right. You know what I mean? Even at the expense of the team sometimes, to where it'll be, you know, I'm not a Poppy guy, or I'm a Poppy guy, or I'm a Carr guy, I'm not a Carr guy. You know what I mean? To the point to where almost like they're wishing bad on a guy just so they can be correct. You know what I mean? I don't care who's scoring goals. I don't care who's coaching the team. And as long as that person is getting us goals, helping us win, helping us play good football and be in every game. And the same goes for the coach. So whether it's a player, whether it's a coach, I don't care. I don't care.
I think we're all in that agreement. I think just like deep down in my heart, and I've said it a few times, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I don't know. I'm feeling like the Who, because I won't be fooled again.
Yeah, it's hard for me. Yeah, that's why it's hard for me to sit there and say, oh, we're out of the woods, because we don't put a streak. We don't string anything together enough for me to come to that conclusion. You know what I mean? At this point, we're yo-yoing like our results. So it's like, you know, what you're going to be, you know, if we get a win, oh, now Poppy's in. Oh, he's, you know, the seat's not hot anymore. Then what if we turn right back around and get crushed to Atlanta? Then what? We're all Poppy out again? Then, you know what I mean? So yeah. It's like this team needs some consistency and. Once you start seeing some consistency from whether it's the players, whether it's coaches, whether it's both of them, once you start seeing that consistency, then the I guess irrational behavior from the fans, I guess you could say, as far as what's good for this team or what's not, you'll see that start to calm down and be more rational and more level-headed. But for right now, this team's just too up and down and it's too much of a roller coaster ride. So it reflects in the way our fan base acts. We act the same way as our results.
Are you calling me irrational,
Cleo? I wasn't even thinking about you, but no,
you're looking right at me.
Alex,
I can't even see
one of the
screen.
More rational people.
No, I mean, I see what you're saying. And I agree 100%, Cleon, because if we go and get drummed by Atlanta, I will.
It's
going to
be right back. It's
going to
be right back.
I will be saying, that, like I said, everybody, I won't be fooled again, because on paper, we were supposed to crush Miami. On paper, we're at home, we're not very good, and Atlanta's a pretty darn good team. They score goals, and they, you know, they give up some goals, but they also score goals, and we're not typically good against teams that that can beat us with goals. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. We got Mikey Holiday gone. You know, he got called up to the under 20 team. And that hurts our four in the back, right? He's the best fullback that we've had, arguably. I don't even know if that's arguably, but all season long, he's been the guy that we've been able to count on, the one position, the guy at fullback that's been pretty good. And he's not going to be there. So,
oh, and Gaston, I forgot, bro.
Oh, and Gaston hurt, got he? Hurt. He got,
yeah,
he
I forgot. I forgot about Gaston, bro.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Gaston Gonzalez. You know, some people were saying 3 weeks. You know, what we've seen before, it could be 2-3 months. So there's a large question there with what are we going to do with that versatile player that we're going to be missing. This guy's been playing wing back. This guy's been playing a great – he's been in his natural position lately in that winger role, and I think he's been complimenting very well, you know, everybody else on the field. So I'm with you. I won't be fooled again. And I hate to say this, but I can't tell you that my opinion has drastically changed. I know we crushed Miami and it feels great, but my opinion will drastically change if we go out and beat the doors off Atlanta. If we beat Atlanta the same way we beat Miami,
yeah,
my opinion will drastically change.
And Atlanta's good, man. Atlanta's good. So I mean that's a strong win. Honestly, even if you play well and it ends in a draw, even that's encouraging. I don't want to encourage draws around here. But with Atlanta in particular, I really don't want nothing less than three, only because it's Atlanta. That's not something logical. That's emotion. I don't like giving them points in our building. They've gotten enough, so I'm over that. But rationally, like, even if you, as long as they're able to play well and you come out with any points, it's really not a failure, I would say. It would only be a failure because of all the other points we've already dropped at home. You know what I mean? It won't be necessarily reflective of, oh, you dropped points at first at Atlanta. It'll be more a community.
Culmination.
Yeah, like a combination of all the dumb losses and points we've dropped already.
Yeah, I agree. Ryder, are you kind of in the same boat? Like, you're not, I mean, I feel like it'd be hard to say, you know, my opinion's totally changed after we just beat the doors off, and maybe on paper it could be the worst roster in the league, you know?
Right, and I'm going to piggyback off of a thought that Cleon had a little bit. I agree that with what you just said, Alex, it is irrational. It is a complete pendulum swing to go from me tweeting out just a couple weeks ago. I'm known as the more positive guy on this podcast. And even I got down in the dumps after the Charlotte match. And I'm like, I want him gone. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of the inconsistency and not knowing the trajectory of this club and underachieving. And we've been on an upswing ever since, including coming from Cara. Cara's been doing unbelievable work out there. It's almost as if he took that as motivation. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that can it be sustainable that he does that? It's like he's gone from plugging his ears to holding his ears out and listening to it. I'll take it. If he keeps doing that all day long. Oscar, team of the week. Cara, team of the week. Whatever, match day, whatever. Still think it should be team of the week. That's good, but you got to keep it up. And the reason that this whole up, down thing and how we go through this hot, cold, I grew up in Chicago. It gets warm in Chicago in the summer and annoyingly cold in the winter. And when it freezes, the water seeps into the roads and causes it and gets in there and creates potholes when the heat comes and expands it. Everything washes away. And that's what I'm starting to feel like. I'm starting to feel like a road in Chicago where we're getting hot, we're getting cold, we're getting hot, we're getting cold, and we need some consistency. I'd rather be hot than cold. Let's get more. That's what we all want what's best for the club. We're not attacking Oscar or Cara personally. We just want what's best for the club. And so far, some tough love has worked. So I'm not going to completely reverse my stance. I still think that Oscar's on probation and that he needs to have a great showing leading into the League's Cup before decisions get made, because that's the last real opportunity you have. Is if you don't advance out of the League's Cup, you lose, that's a good time to send your coach packing and use those two, three weeks of extra time between matches to get a new coach. And we're going to find out real quick if this team can work with what we've got. Now, I agree the Atlanta match isn't going to be the primary test for this. I'd be happy with a Poppy special in this match. Like, honestly, score, hold them defensively for the first half. We can talk about this more in a bit. And then score one, and that's it. And move on and go kick the absolute crap out of a really bad New York Red Bulls team. I tweeted this earlier. I'm looking forward to being wrong about Oscar. I said when he got named Team of the Week, I better go practice my yoga because I'm going to have to put my foot in my mouth if this happens.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if I'm that stretch flexible, though. Enzo can do it for me. He chews on his toes all the time. So let's quickly do our stock up and stock down. I'll start. My stock up, the easy answer would be Poppy or Cara, I guess. I'm not going to do Poppy just because, like I said, I'm not going to be fooled again. I got to go with Cesar, man. With that long throw finally working, I'll go one off. I mean, the guy's put in, it's got to, other than Pedro, he's got to have the most minutes of this season. That's just me guessing, but it's got to be either him or Jansen, I would assume. But dude's a warrior. Dude is an intimidator. Dude's starting to get his feel, you know, to that leadership feel. And he's starting to look like that, you know, $5 to $10 million midfielder that we know he can be. He's starting to look like a guy that can, you know, control games and has the stamina to keep it up, and I'm happy that a long throw worked for him. So I'll give him my stock up. And as far as stock down, Pompano Beach, y'all suck. You guys are stock down every week, in my opinion. So I'm gonna give it to that horrible pink looking team at the bottom. Stock down. Y'all suck. That's all. I thought we played great. I ain't going to put it on. I ain't going to say stock down on nobody that was wearing purple. So if you wear pink, you stock down this week. So, Ryder, we'll go back to you, man. Give me a stock up, stock down.
Stock up, Santos gets a goal. He didn't have a lot of time out there, but he got a goal. He proved that he can come in and make a play. Granted, he had a lot of help from Duncan, but I'm going to give him a little love that I took away from him a couple weeks ago. He's going from my stock down 2 weeks ago to being my stock up. So stock down. It's hard to find one from Orlando right now. I don't have one. I really don't. And I can't really go after anybody on the club our old buddy from Atlanta. He can only get an assist against us with Miami. It's just not the same when he doesn't score.
Is that our old father?
Our old father. He's not our daddy anymore.
He's only one guy's father to me now, and we'll talk about that later. Mike, stock up. Do you have a stock down?
Oh, stock up was agreeing with Ryder, honestly, in Santos. I know I was stock down on him a couple weeks ago. I know that when the lineup came out, we were all basically sitting here like, all right, well, the left side of defense is going to be a worry with Jansen and Santos because of the fact that we're not sure what we can really expect out of them defensively. They held their own. Jansen had a boss game. Santos. He made one mistake in trying to force a pass, and that is what led to their goal. But obviously two solid shots, one of them going in. You know, so it was definitely good to see that. And then so I'm really, really happy for the guy. And then as far as stock down goes, stock down is going to go to Vice City and Southern Legion because can't even get loud anymore, man. Like, you guys are weak. Leave it at that.
They had about 14 people for their Open Cup match the other night. That was,
dude. Oh, I'm looking at the chat here now. So yeah, part of the reason why I'm saying that is obviously they're using speakers in their stadium to pump up what they're doing there. And that's just so Bush League, man. Like, it's hilarious to see. So if that's how they're going to handle things, then, you know, you guys deserve every bit of stock down. And if you see the discourse on Twitter of them trying to defend it, they're literally just self-owning themselves. Like, there's literally one person that says Miami fans just don't, you know, aren't as invested and don't have the atmosphere. It's part of the
experience.
Part of the experience is that you should get that. Like, so it's hilarious. But yeah, here's my stock up, stock down.
Pumping audio noise into your stadium was controversial when there wasn't a single butt in the seat during COVID. Like, people were like, should we really be doing this?
But that's what happens when you join the league the year of COVID.
Yeah, I know people. So they just think it's normal, I guess. People are like questioning it, like when there's nobody there. Like, we all know that we can't go to the games. We all know nobody's allowed to be there. And people are still like, I'm 50-50 on this fake crowd noise. I don't know about this. And now you can go, and they literally are pumping in crowd noise. Oh, and you didn't even mention, Mike, they used the same TIFO that they used 3 years ago.
Recycled
TIFOs.
Recycled Pinko's TIFO.
And then they painted Neville out TIFOs like a couple days later.
No, they didn't. That was Photoshop. They don't know how to paint.
Even with that, Mike, I've heard.
I believed it.
I've seen a couple of rumors that that some guys said it was Photoshop, and then everybody's asking for proof, and then like they couldn't really give definite proof, and then other people said it might not have been Photoshop. People that are with our club that have done a lot of TIFOs before, they were looking at the pictures too, and they said, maybe not. So we'll see.
It could be, but at the same time,
the realest thing they've done as a football club, as supporters, ever since they got in, is if they actually did that. That would be, but everything else has been just, it's so plastic, man. It's so plastic. Cleon, you got a stock down, or is it all positive stock ups?
No, I got stock downs.
Plural.
Yeah, I got multiple just in case nobody else took them. Yeah. Up, I was actually going to go Kara, and it sucks because he got injured, but my stock up would have been Gonzalez. Like, it seemed like he's been starting to find his role and find his spot, bro. So hopefully that injury ain't too long, man, because he seemed like he was finally starting to find his footing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For sure. And then we paid a good amount for him, so he's supposed to have that, you know, that potential too.
Yeah, stock down. I'm gonna have to go the same as my last one, Mauricio, and I'm gonna add Enrique on top of that.
Ooh,
the subs, huh?
So that's,
yeah, Enrique. I don't even think he got the sub, but that's exactly why you'll be subbing out. It's just Carr rises up and Duncan's already there, and then, you know, somebody got to go down, right?
Is Enrique going to have like Giles Barnes syndrome, where like his best minutes as a professional for Orlando City were like the first 20 minutes of his entire Orlando City career, and then it was all downhill from there?
I hope not. I hope not, bro. But I can't even say it's necessary. I mean, he hasn't scored or nothing like that, but it's not even necessarily his plays. Just the two guys in front of him are lights out right now, bro. So, yeah. I mean, you know what I mean?
Having guys that can swap and be each other's subs when you need to switch out the amount of minutes you're putting on legs, and especially in this congested schedule, it's nice to have a more experienced guy like Kara who's getting hot, and a guy who just came out of college who's just learning to get and is working to get to that fitness level where he can play 90 minutes or go 75 minutes, and he's getting off the bench and playing that 25, 30 minutes. And when he needs to sub in the midweek, he can.
That's a good shout, Cleon. I didn't even think about that, but mm-hmm. I would say that's an awesome assumption because what do they both got 4-2 now, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually looking at it right now. If you look at combined goals and assists for all competitions, Duncan has 6, Kara has 6. And believe it or not, people have been kind of talking about Ojeda.
Depending where you look.
He's got 6 too. So, you know, I'm looking on FootMob right now. I'm not counting secondary assists. So, yeah, no.
Kara's got a few more.
Yeah. Yeah, Kara would have a few more, actually. But no, they're both our strikers are producing, man. So it's kind of, you know, odd man out is Ramiro at this point.
Yeah, 18 goals and assists from those three guys combined is, I mean, Cleon, you've been right a lot about these new guys that we bring in, and I think you nailed Duncan on the head, maybe better than you've ever nailed anything as far as, you know, predictions. You've been always high on him, and I got to tell you, and I cannot stress it enough, that play that he made for that third goal, you know, man, that is some top-level soccer IQ. That is some selfless play. You know, and a lot of times you want your striker to be selfish, but, you know, like I said, he had the in his mind. I bet you he knew, Rafael, that he just had that same shot 2 minutes before. He knew what he was teeing up, and as soon as that goal went in, man, I could tell on Duncan's face he was like, "This is that feeling that you that feeling that you when you know you made the right decision," and that's how he felt. So,
yeah, going back to that. Everybody, that one gets all the attention because that's the one that ended in a goal. But I know us in the chat, bro. It's like, it's crazy because as soon as that dude gets in, it's like he's in on goal immediately, bro. You know what I mean? Whether it's like they're finding him on that back shoulder. He's just constantly like, he'll be like in there 15 minutes and he'll have like 3 like solid like scoring chances to whether it's for him or someone else, where he'll just get in on goal, like they'll hit it over the top or whatever the case. You know what I mean? And I don't know how that's what they're saying. Like they say his off-ball movement is just insane.
That's the thing that I feel like when we watched him during preseason against, what was it, FIU, that little bit that he played in that preseason game, we were watching it. We're like, dude, no wonder he scored so much in college because these defenders can't even see where he's at. He's that smart about the runs that he makes. And it's even, he was so good at it then that he's also excelling at it now at the pro level because of the fact that he knows where the ball should be. And he knows where combined with that, he also knows where he needs to be in the best position to score a damn goal. Like you can't teach that. That's something that you got it or you don't. And he's one of those people that absolutely has it. And him having it is pushing Kara, both of them producing. That's what I like to call, just rich getting richer, man. I want that. Both of them producing is a good thing for everybody.
My football coach in high school used to say iron sharpens iron. That's right. The way it works. So, and don't forget, we got him 6th in the draft. So I know we had 2nd pick and, you know, there's 4 other teams that could have picked him too. So another awesome find. I don't know how these guys keep falling to us, but I'm thankful for it. That's for sure. I'm thankful for it. So, all right, let's look briefly into the Atlanta match. Where's Atlanta in the standings? What are they? Like 4th, right?
Yeah, they're 4th mm-hmm. on 22 points. And I can riff a little bit if you want me to go through some stats.
Yeah, go ahead. I see. Yeah, they're 4th on 22, yeah. And we're on 19.
Fifth, if they got like games in hand too, mind you, they played like 14. But going all points per game, they're like, I think, 5th and we're 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So realistically, we can pass them in the standings on points per game if with a win. Two things that are most interesting, I feel like, out of what they currently got going. They have scored the most goals in MLS this year. They have conceded the 2nd most goals in MLS this year. So they are 28 goals for, 24 goals against. They are a team that can be scored on pretty clearly that they will give up goals. They are on a backup goalkeeper because Brad Guzan is out. Then in the midfield this week, there is a possibility that they will have no Santi Sosa. That was reported today that he might be injured. And then they're also out Franco Ibarra. He is suspended. Amar Sadich is injured. And Luis Araujo, because he says it differently, is also out with a red card suspension from last week. So they're going to be missing people. Their midfield is going to be weak, similar to how Miami's was weak. So there's an opportunity for us to capitalize against a good team missing pieces. So
that'd be nice. I would love to be sitting on 22 points after 14 matches. You know, that would really drastically change my opinion on how the entire season's going to go. So
absolutely.
Mike, since you started it, tell me your prediction.
I'm not going to the game this weekend because anytime I go to a game that where we're playing Atlanta, we lose. So since I'm not going to be there, we're going to win, you know, that's how it works. I'm doing it. I'm taking one for the team, guys. You know, I want to be there. I want to go support the homies, support the boys. And when I say homies, I mean Cappy's food truck, because you know that I'd be there at Broken Strings before every game. yeah, we're going to get the win. It's going to be, 2-0. It's going to be a Poppy special, but we're going to catch him on the counter late and add a second. And those goals are going to come from Kara's going to stay hot and get the first one. And then Faku is going to get the dagger at the end on the break. Because he needs it.
He does need it. Cleon, prediction time?
I'm going to go 3-2.
Oof.
I'm going 3-2.
Okay, that's a score. Who's going to win?
I'm still deciding. man, screw it, Orlando, bro. 3-2, Orlando.
You think Faku gets a goal?
He better.
A penalty, maybe.
Yeah, bro. I need him to get a goal, man. He needs to get a real goal. I need him to get a goal. I need Ohe to get a goal. And I need one of them to get a brace.
I think you're going to see them both start, especially with Gaston's injury, so...
yeah, I hope. I mean, that's part of the thing. Poppy for me still has to figure out, bro. Like, no, you got to figure out how to get them dudes all together, man. And it's nice to see Orlando Chego come back, though.
Yeah, and not for just 20 minutes either, you know. So hey, they got to get them together starting a game. Ryder, before I share my opinion, why don't you tell us your prediction?
Man, you guys are sounding like we're gonna have a slugfest. I was saying earlier that we're going to have a Poppy special. We're going to score 1-0. I feel like I kind of have to hold to that. I think we're going to hold fast in the first half, and we're going to get a Facundo Torres goal in the second half that gets us the win. I think that this is something we can do. I think that although Atlanta is the stronger team, like Mike said, we've got a suspension. We've got a couple injuries for Atlanta, and they've also got a match on the midweek, and they have to take that into account, especially when you've got a couple of players down. They might throw at us a subpar squad, and we can take advantage of that and be conservative, but also still go and get that 3 points. So 1-0, Facundo gets the goal, Orlando gets the 3 points.
Well, boys, hope everybody's feeling good, because
you're going to drop the hammer.
I won't be fooled again. 3-1 Atlanta. I can't do it. Don't call me negative. Don't call me stupid. Don't call me a pessimist. I am just looking at the past results. This is a team that scores goals. We are not good against teams that score goals. We are not good at home. We are not good when we come off of a win. So I take all those things. And I won't be fooled again. I won't be fooled again. If we had an intro song, it would be The Who this week. Yeah. That play it, because I can't. I would rather be wrong and us win than be wrong and us lose. So if I'm going to be wrong, I'd rather it be this way. I'm known for being wrong, right? I'm known for literally me saying Kara sucks, tantrum, and then Kara scoring 2 goals immediately. I'm known for... You know, Kyle Smith is trash, and then a beautiful assist or an awesome run. I'm known for get Poppy the hell out of here. Poppy, team of the match day. So I won't be fooled again. 3-1 Atlanta is what I see. I can see it being, you know, 1-0 and then us pushing, and then it being 2-0 and then us pushing even more, and then it either being 3-0 or 2-1 and then them getting a third. But I would love to be wrong, but I'm going to stick with my gut and say I won't be fooled again, and because I would feel really dumb if I said that we're going to win this game and then we lost 3-1, because I don't want to feel like that, you know. So I want us to win. I'm a fan. I'm a supporter. I love the badge, but I'm also looking at the past results and our home experience, and it's Atlanta, and we are coming off of a road victory, which we've done that twice this year and lost at home, coming off of a road victory. So
I can see a loss. I can definitely see a loss, but I don't know. 3-2s in my head.
3-2s in your head.
Whether we win it or lose it.
It's definitely one of those.
Atlanta gives up a lot of goals, bro.
I was going to say 3-2 as well, honestly.
Atlanta gives up a lot of goals, man.
But we don't score very many.
They gave up 3 goals to Chicago last week, and 2 of those goals were with Chicago down to 10 men, you know. So, like, they're going to let
We're going to score.
Yeah, it's not it's just one of those things. I'm with you guys. I could see it being a loss too, you know. I'm just going off of you said you won't be fooled again. I won't be fooled again. That's why I'm not going again. Guys, I'm biting a bullet for the team. Like,
hey, we all got to do it. And I would be lying if I say part of me saying we're going to lose wasn't me thinking that this team loves to prove me wrong. And
if I say we're, exactly.
But that's still not a major part of it. You know, the major reason for me saying that is because it's the book's been written. We already have a few chapters on this book to understand the next few chapters. So just looking back and then using the past knowledge to predict the future. So let's move into our shout outs. So we've been on for exactly an hour right now. So we're doing pretty good. Let's move on to our shout outs. I'll start first. I've been waiting for this for a few days. I'm going to shout out our former captain, our former number 10, the guy who happened to captain the team when Joseph fathered us, Mr. Sasha Kleshchen. So I appreciate you shouting us out in the pregame, telling that Joseph's going to dominate us again. Listen, brother, I just need to know. Never mind, I can't say that. It's not Den After Dark. That would be too vulgar.
It's sworn on here twice already.
If you, but I don't want to say a curse word. I just want to say vulgarity, like rated NR stuff. It ain't a curse word, but it's.
Well,
like,
who's editing it? You or me? That's the real question.
But you can read my tweet about what I want to say about headed towards Sasha Kleshchen. But listen, that's uncalled for. I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care. It ain't that much, brother. You're MLS 360 pundit. Okay, I promise. I probably make a competitive salary to you as a jet ski guide in Key West. Okay, for being honest. Okay, so listen. It's not that serious, Sasha. You don't have to try and embarrass us. You don't have to say Joseph's going to be the father again. He's going to blow them out. You know, we know you're trying to get clicks. We know Apple TV has been absolutely abysmal. We know nobody watches your asses. Okay. So next time, just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth, Sasha. And next time, if you decide to say Joseph was our father, don't forget to throw in the fact that you were the captain of the team. Don't forget to throw that little fact in there, Mr. I fleeced the whole league on my fake secondary assists. So that's all I'm going to say. I'll leave it.
Now we're going to acknowledge.
He's the mustache kid. We're going to acknowledge the
secondary fake assists.
Clean. I tried to go back and I looked at it.
Dude, now we're going to. That's triggered.
When now we're going to acknowledge the fake assists.
When they fleeced us, they fleeced us, and they said he had 24 assists.
This man every week is here talking 14. About, oh, there's my 100th assist. Bro, you're like 30 short, bro. What are you even talking about?
Yeah.
No, it's probably more than 30. You're probably like 60 short. talking about 100. Oh, there's my 100. We got to find my 100. That's exactly what they do. Find my assist. That's exactly how they even got to 99 in the first place. All them fake assists. And now you're going to turn your shout out into my shout out because now I'm triggered because now y'all talking about these fake assists again and it's annoying. Can we please live in reality world, please? So, Mr. Fake Stat Man, whoever you are, please just go away forever and leave me alone.
Yeah, I mean, they try and pump the numbers up, but they can pump up every number except the viewer numbers, I guess, with Apple TV. So, you know, so that was your shout out, Cleon, to the fake assist man.
Yes, it wasn't planned, but that's what it is now.
All right, I got you, Mike.
I got a couple quick ones. First, shout out to Matt Doyle. I tweeted at him saying Kara pass of the week. He gave Kara pass of the week. Good to see that, because Kara's pass for Ojeda's goal was a delight. Second shout out, just got to go to the Young Guns OCB goal that was scored. Shaq Muhammad to Alex Freeman to Jack Lynn, all the first team guys that are getting minutes with OCB combining together to set up a goal. Love to see it. And final shout out is to Alan Chapman. Don't Chapman this game, please.
Please.
please, pretty please. Don't Chapman this one, because we all know that is possible.
Yeah, 18 games, and we have, what was it, 24 plus 4, 28 points in Chapman refereed games.
Yeah, we typically do well, but he you know how Chapman does things. So
he's one of the refs that whether we win or lose, he always makes the game about him.
Yeah,
the match will always, at the end of the match, I guarantee you on Saturday night, we'll be talking about in some facet how Chapman somehow made the game about him.
Something weird that happened.
Exactly. Ryder?
I'm going to give a shout out to a TV show that is near and dear to everybody's hearts. Ted Lasso, the season finale of season 3, potentially the series finale. No one really knows. They're keeping that close to the chest. Is there going to be more shows that spring off of this? Will they continue the legacy without Ted? I don't know. I believe, Alex, you said that you haven't watched the season yet, so maybe take your headphones off for this next part. But I want to read a quote. Actually, I'm going to make my joke first. I'm going to make the joke that it might be the best for Ted to go off into the sunset and go back to Kansas City and coach, because God knows Sporting Kansas City needs it. And Ted Lasso would make the perfect new coach over Peter Vermes. His time has come. He needs to move on. But Ted Lasso has been so near and dear to our hearts. It came through in a dark time during COVID and imparted some wisdom to be kind to each other. And there was a quote in the most recent episode that I'm going to read. I hope that either all of us or none of us are judged by the actions of our weakest moments, but rather by the strength we show when and if we're given a second chance. And that, you know who's getting some second chances for us? A couple of our players, a lot of our fans. We've all gotten second chances. Let's use them, folks. Go use that in your lives this week. Be kinder to those who are being unkind to the people around you, both in this fan base and beyond. And let's root for the team. Support them. Love on them when we're up. Tell them what happened when we're down, but just slap them on the figurative ass and let's move on. Let's beat Atlanta and let's do it. Come on. I'm going to miss Ted Lasso. It's such a fun show, but I'm going to miss it. And I will promise at this point, Eddie's not here, but I'm going to speak for Eddie and Mike, because first time I ever met Mike was actually on the season 2 summary show. And I'm looking forward to doing the season 3 one here soon. So
yeah, that's when I was the first person to say the F word on the show. Sorry, guys.
Ryder, it looked I really wasn't listening, and it looked very heartfelt, your facial expressions, that's all I could see. So I'm excited to go back and listen to this. I know the writer's strike is in Hollywood, at least it has, so I think that has had a main thing to do with whether they want to bring it back or not. So
And there's also, I've talked to a couple of people who think that it might be good for the franchise, not just Ted Lasso as a whole, but to give it some air. And I wouldn't mind seeing a lot of these characters come back in different shows, but I think there's two or three like spin-offs in the next 5 years that we could see out of this. And yeah, it would be nice, and it would be cool to see the message of more than just sports, but the people that are playing it and the fans and the owners from the top to the bottom, how it impacts those people. And I know it's not as popular in England, but it's still a magical show that struck lightning. That's a reference when we needed to. So
yeah, my in-laws talk about it all the time, and they don't watch any soccer, but they'd watch Ted Lasso. So whether you like that fact or not, that people don't watch soccer but they watch Ted Lasso, you can like it or you can hate it, but you have to respect it. And it's cool. It's cool that it brings people that, you know, otherwise wouldn't be watching the game to watch soccer. And the same thing with Wrexham. You know, that those are the two things they watch, is the Wrexham and the Wrexham show and Ted Lasso, and they're obsessed with it. They talk about it to me every time I'm down there, you know, and I think it's awesome because, you know, does part of me want to say, oh, you're the hardcore supporter, but you're plastic, I can't believe you watch blah blah blah. But you know, at the end of the day, something's got to get these people to watch. And I can't stress it enough, it ain't Apple TV. So, you know, something's got to get these people to watch. So I do agree with that. Thank you guys all for joining again. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. We learned this past week. I did some research. I was actually listening to a aviation podcast, and they were sharing some numbers and made me look at our numbers. And we learned that we are about in the top 15 to 20% of listened podcasts on the planet. As of April. So it's cool. It's awesome to know that people actually listen to the show, that we don't just do this for ourselves, although I'm sure we would still do this if there was only two people listening. But we appreciate everybody that listens, that downloads, that follows us, that supports us, that argues with us, that tells us we're wrong when they think we're wrong, or tells us we're right when they think we're right. We love the feedback. The Den After Dark has been great. We have just recently eclipsed 100,000 downloads on all of our episodes. So we are super proud of that number, and we can't do it without you guys every single week. So thank you guys for everything that you guys do and everything that you guys participate in and listen and like and retweet and share to all your friends and family. You know, we're super appreciative of you guys, and we can't wait to see you guys hopefully on Saturday night. I manifested it this past Saturday. We'll manifest it again. Everybody light your circle, your candles, and your manifestation circle. Dub City. Let's hope we can get it. Let's hope I'll be wrong. Let's hope I'll be eating my words Saturday night about 10 p.m. on the Den After Dark, which I will see you guys there. I will be there. So thank you guys again for listening. We really appreciate you guys. Anybody else last thoughts? Everybody's good. Cleon's ready to log off. Vamos Orlando, y'all. Appreciate you guys. Thank you again.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.